Good morning and welcome to worship. May you find hope, peace, joy, and love in this Advent season. This week, I have been talking to the kids of the church and preschool about the meaning of Advent. This is the time that comes before Christmas, where we prepare for Christ's arrival. I have had the pleasure of hearing many Christmas traditions that families have. Most kids were very excited to tell me about their tree. A Christmas tree seems to be a very important part of celebrating Christmas for kids. It's fun to hear about all the ways that we prepare for Christ's arrival. Many families have Advent calendars or wreaths. There are a lot of traditions around baking, either cookies or making lefse. As the kids talk about Christmas coming, they are so excited and so filled with joy. Many adults are as well. But there are those that the season doesn't always bring joy. It comes as a reminder of things that we have lost or things that we don't have. The season can be really hard for many. I wonder sometimes if part of what makes it hard is the outside pressure that is put on us to be joyful and excited. If by not allowing ourselves to feel our emotions, are we making things harder? This is what I love about Advent. We can take this time to recognize the pain and suffering that God's people endured while they waited for the coming Messiah. It reminds us that we are not alone in the hard stuff, that there are others, many faithful people of the Bible, who also waded through hard times. Advent is a time that we can truly reflect on what Christ's presence in our lives means and how that is moving us through life. For those who are excited and joyful, it gives time to experience all that Christmas is. And for those that are struggling, it gives time to reflect and absorb God's peace. If you've been listening to my children's sermons this year, you've heard me reference the narrative lectionary. This idea that this year we started in Genesis, at the beginning, and are tracing God's story from the beginning through Jesus. Because the Bible, while made up of many different books, and set up as its own little library, is still God's big story. This is something that we talk about with the children and youth a lot. We want them to know that each of these stories have more to them than what we see on the surface. As the kids get older, they will get to see more details of this story. We learn things like when Moses comes off the mountain and finds the Israelites have made a golden calf, he grinds it up and makes them drink it. Or that King David made some selfish decisions when it came to Bathsheba. Or when Daniel gets taken out of the lion's den, the men who orchestrated him being thrown in get thrown in themselves. These are details that are usually left out of Sunday school. There's always more that we are learning about these stories and how each of these different parts played into God's great rescue plan. When we start at the beginning, we are reminded that we are all sinful people, that with Adam and Eve, sin entered the world, and that there is nothing that we as humans can do about it. That this sin separates us from God. It keeps us away from Him. I think as we read through the Bible, we cannot forget that fact. That frames everything that happens. It is important to not get hung up on the things we do because of sin, but rather this condition of sin that each of us equally holds that keeps us from God. It separates us from God. I have this image in my head of someone falling overboard on a ship and starting to drift away from the ship. They need to be rescued and brought back to the ship because on their own, in the sea, they cannot survive. They need to not be separate from the ship that gives them shelter and food. We were created to be in relationship with God. When we are separate from Him, we are not getting all that we need. This is what we see over and over again in the Old Testament. God's people are struggling. God is with them through the wilderness, through the judges and the kings, through the divided kingdom, and then into the exile. But His promise the entire time is just wait. There is something better coming. God's people had to wait and wait. I know, at least for kids, Advent can seem to last forever. Just going from one day to the next, waiting to open each door of the Advent calendar can almost feel like too much. I can't even imagine what the Israelites felt like waiting in exile for so long, with all the things that happened to them while they were in the exile. The prophet Isaiah was around in the time of the exile. He spoke both to the exile they had and the one that would be coming in Babylon that he warned them about. He also spoke of what was coming, that there was hope on the horizon. Our scripture today is the first part of Isaiah's prophecy of hope. Isaiah talks of someone coming to comfort the people. While I was reading about our scripture text this week, a theme that kept coming up was from verses 10 and 11. This idea that the one who was coming was both tender and strong, both the king and the shepherd. He both has power and tender, loving care. What does this mean for us? How does that change this gift that we have? I think as Christians, when we talk about suffering, even when we try to be real about it and realize that God doesn't cause it, we still often diminish it. You hear things like, it's okay to suffer because God is with you, or God uses our suffering to help us grow or help other people. But when we are in it, when our loved one is sick and fighting for their life, when we lose a job and are suffering to survive, when we have lost a child or our marriage is falling apart, it is just hard. I think it is important to let those times be hard. God's promise is to walk with us through it. But to be honest, we may not see that right away. I think as Christians, we need to be careful to not wear our suffering like a badge of honor. I think often we try to use it as a way to strengthen other people's faith. Look at this really hard thing that happened to me, and I survived because God is with me. So then when someone else is struggling, we can use that as a way to comfort them. But I'm not sure that honors their pain and their experience. So what do we do? That is a question that I struggle with constantly. I went into ministry because of the way that God worked in my own life and in my own suffering, and because of the way that people responded, both good and bad. I think the best thing we can do is look at Jesus. When people were struggling, he was there. He touched them, he forgave them, and he wept with them. How many of you parents out there have ever heard your child say to you, "You hate me," or "You don't care about me"? This is a common thing that gets thrown around my house. Whether it's because of a discipline that they have received, or because they have a problem that I cannot fix, that I have no control over, they expect for me to be able to make it better. They want to be happy all the time and expect me to do that for them. But that just is not the reality. Life is hard. Hard things happen. Homework can be hard to understand. Friends at school can be not so nice. No matter what is going on, they want it fixed. And when I can't fix that, it can sometimes turn to anger towards me. Then there are other times when they have a bad dream in the middle of the night and they crawl in my bed and we talk through it and they get the comfort of a loving parent and they eventually fall back to sleep. As a parent, we experience every one of our kids' highs and every one of their lows. We get to walk with them through those things, and as much as we would like to take them away from them, we can't. All we can do is be there and let them know that they are loved and cared for. This is how I feel about God's love for us. I think that we can do the same thing to God as my kids do to me. Blame him. Expect him to fix it, to answer our prayers in the way that we want them answered. But just like we parents oftentimes see and have a greater understanding of the whole situation, so does God. We can take comfort in the fact that he is walking with us through the tough thing, that he is there with us. God doesn't offer cheap comfort. His comfort is that of someone who not only cares deeply, but has the power and the authority to say, "This is not all that there is. There is something better coming." But not in a way to make you buck up and take it, No, our God loves us, and that love looks like him suffering with us. God taking on our pain, our grief, and walking with us through it, not leaving us alone, not just sending us a breadcrumb and saying, since I am offering you this better thing, you should now be a happy Christian and not suffer anymore. Years ago, my mom took something called the S training. This was a training on interpersonal relationships. The other day, she was telling me about how in that training, they tell them there is no hope. At first, this threw me. What do you mean there's no hope? Of course there is hope. But the idea is that there is no hoping things into being, that you can't just sit back and hope life will get better. No, we have to be active participants in our lives. But the hope we have in Jesus is not a simple hope. It's not just throwing it out there. No, it is a hope that brings us peace, joy, and love and moves us to action. Because there is hope, we can keep moving on. Because that even when things are at their worst, we know that the hope that lies in Christ Jesus is deeper and bigger than anything we could ever wish for. God wants us to have hope in what is coming, and God wants us to find peace in him. Not cheap peace, not forceful peace, but the kind of peace a child gets when they crawl into their parents' lap and are held and are told that they are loved. Overwhelming, loving, caring peace. That is what we are preparing for this season. We wait for the coming of our King that not only rules, but loves and cares for us. John cries out, "Prepare ye the way." We need to make time and space in our lives to be ready for the ways that Jesus moves within us, ways that he takes our lives and turns them upside down and inside out, ways that he can use our suffering for good. When all is said and done, what will stand strong is the word of God. If we have learned nothing else going through the narrative lectionary, we have learned that God keeps his promises. God stays with us. God sent his son to love us, his son who weeps with us in our pain. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for Jesus the King that came to rule and love and offer grace? A king that takes our lives and turns them upside down. A king that pushes us to love deeper, care deeper, to seek the lost and forgotten, to forgive those that hurt us, and let ourselves be forgiven for the mistakes that have been made. A king that has the power to change the world and the compassion to comfort those who suffer. Are you ready for what Christmas really means? As we prepare for Christmas and look for the peace that can only be found in Christ Jesus, let us remember those around us that may have a harder time finding that peace this season. Let us reach out and love those around us. Amen.